This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Faith Talk Podcast. I am your host, Lolita Jones. Oh, we have a word for you tonight. Yes, we are still on our consecration. Today is the 17th day, and we thank God for you. No, it is the 17th day of the brand new year, but this is, I think, our eighth day that we're on consecration, and we thank God for you. Come on and join us. We have the Right Reverend Elder Anthony Presley. He has come back with another word from the Lord. Get ready. Get your pad out, your paper out, and your pen or your pencil. Get ready to take notes and get ready to receive a word from God.
Praise the name of the Lord, church. It is a good day to be saved. Every day is a good day to be saved. Every day is a good day because of Christ and because of what Christ has done for us. Today, God has laid it on my heart to lay plain secrets to the kingdom and the keys that are in our mouths. So I want to talk to you about the key of authority that is in your mouth. I want to talk quickly on how to make things move from the spiritual into the natural so that, as Sister Jones said, we can raise our expectations, because I believe that we are supposed to expect to live by miracles. Do you know that faith literally means that you have to believe in something that is impossible? If what it is that you're doing is not impossible, then it did not require faith. It just required the skill that God gave you. But if it were impossible, then it requires faith. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So therefore, it's impossible to please God if you are not doing the impossible. We are required as Christians that our lives should show something that is not physically possible for us to do ourselves. That is the manifestation of miracles, and it comes simply from your expectation. What do you expect? Because whatever you expect, that's how far God can bring you by utilizing your faith. Father God, we give you glory and praise. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Have your way even on this prayer line. Have your way that hearts will be touched under the sound of my voice, that faith will grow. I speak good ground and inheritance that is held and given even from this prayer. In Jesus' name, and it is so. I want to go to a common scripture that we know well. Matthew 16 and 19, keys of the kingdom of God. I want to talk about this quickly so we can get an understanding. Matthew chapter 16, let's start at verse 15, and it says, "And he said unto them, But whom do you say that I am?" Speaking to all the disciples. "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, we know this scripture well as church people who attend services, who grew up maybe in Sunday school, who are on prayer lines. We know this scripture. We've heard it well. But I need just to make sure that we analyze it and then understand what's being said here. First of all, I need you to understand he's talking to Peter, yet the original question was to all the disciples. He said, who do they say that I am? And they answered, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're John the Baptist, which makes no sense to me because John the Baptist baptized Jesus, so I don't know how he's supposed to be be both people at the same time, but this was the answer that they were giving. And then he hit them with a curveball. He said, but who do you say that I am? Now, they knew the answer to this question. The Spirit didn't just literally give this information to Peter. It was just Peter was the one that was not afraid to speak up. See, remember in that time period why the Jews rejected Jesus. They rejected Jesus because they wanted future Jesus. They wanted the Jesus that's coming back in the second coming. In the second coming, the Bible says he's coming with his war clothes on. See, the first time he came as a suffering lamb, the second time he's coming as the Lion of Judah. They wanted him to come and overthrow Rome. They wanted whoever this Messiah was to come to be great and mighty and in full of war and to do the things that they thought was the way that they were translating their versions of the Bible, what they call a Bible. And so they rejected this peaceful Jesus that says, I just come for to set the captivity free. I come for the lost and the sinners. I even come for the Gentiles. And they said, he cannot be the Messiah we were looking for. At best, he could be one of the prophets. They were constantly not knowing how to label him because half the people believed in him and half the people didn't. And so, but one thing was sure, he cannot be the Messiah. And it is blasphemous to call someone the Messiah that we have not given that title to. Therefore, by them speaking out, if it would have gotten back, they could have lost their head simply by telling Jesus, I know you are the Messiah. So when Jesus asked the question to all the disciples, one used his tongue and trusted in God more than he trusted in what he knew physically. And he said, I know who you are. You are the Christ. And if you look at the wording, Jesus then speaks directly to Peter. We always take this wording and apply it to everybody in the church. And to a certain level, it does apply to everyone in the church. If you're in the church, you have keys of the kingdom in your mouth. And when I say church, I mean ecclesia. If you are the church, we are the body of Christ. And if you are in that body, you have certain levels of authority. But here he points Peter out, and he gives them a higher level. He says, on this rock I will build my church. And he calls Peter his name Small Rock. But then he talks about the Great Rock. And he says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, meaning whoever I'm giving these keys to will have authority over the things that hell believes they have locked up behind gates. You can take hell's authority and you can take their territory as well. This is an offensive scripture, not a defensive scripture. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Gates are defensive, meaning you take hell's territory back with what comes out of your mouth. So then he says, now, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of this kingdom. But then look at the order of operations. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavenlies. This is easy to reverse in our mind. The first time I heard this scripture, I always thought of it in reverse. I said, whatever is bound in the heavens can then be bound on earth. But that's not the order of operations. It says, whatever is bound on earth first, by Peter, whatever you say, heaven has to back up what it is that you said. It says, whatever you bind, that's going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose down here, that's what's going to be loosed in heaven. The authority was given into Peter's mouth because he was not afraid to use his mouth as God sees fit. Our mouth is our weapon. Our mouths our cheat sheet to the spiritual. We can praise our way into a miracle anytime it's necessary. We can speak things into existence, and the keys of the kingdom are given in your mouth. Everything begins with you speaking. See, God could have explained himself in so many ways. He could have told us so many different things initially about him. There's this thing called the law of first mention. And what that means is the first time you see anything in the Bible, you will consistently see that seen throughout the Bible. The first time you see a lamb, it has to do with sacrifice. The first time you see a snake, it has to do with Satan. So you consistently see that same thing throughout the Bible. Well, when God initially describes himself, the first thing he shows you about himself is that he is a creator. That's the first, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The very first thing, before love, before all the things that make up who God is, he wanted you to understand that he is a creator. Why? Because then it shows you, he says that I created you in my image, meaning I created you to be like me. We are to speak things into existence, and that is how they manifest. Anything, especially in Genesis, that you see always applies in a minimum of two realms. Let me explain what I mean by that. Whenever God says something in Genesis, it means one thing, and then it means something going forward. In the day you eat of that fruit, Adam, you shall surely die. Spiritually, he died that day, but he also legally had to die within 1,000 years, because the Bible says 1,000 years is as a day, and a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. So nobody lived past 1,000 years, because God said in that day, it happens in two different realms, is what I'm saying. And so when God speaks something, it means what he said, but it also means something in the spiritual. And if you pick up what it means in the spiritual, you'll find out, is more potent than the natural. God brought Adam animals, and he said, Adam, name the animal. And I think it's so cool that Adam didn't have to go hunt these animals down. It says God brought them to him. And when they brought it to him, Adam looked at that thing, and whatever Adam said is what that thing was. God brought him an animal with stripes. Adam said zebra, and to this day, that thing is a zebra. God brought him something with a long neck. Adam said giraffe. Now, he wasn't speaking English, but you get the point. And to this day, that thing is a giraffe. Do you understand the spiritual aspect of what God is showing you? He is showing you a secret in the kingdom that I want to talk about today, and it is the law of the first fruits of your lips. You saw the law first mentioned in the Bible. We see the festival of first fruits throughout the Bible. We talk about first fruits of our seed. If you haven't heard about it before, it's the first thing that you get when you get a new job. Many people will offer their entire first paycheck as first fruits, or the first paycheck of the year as first fruit. It's just an extra offering, that you, something that you can do to show God that you have faith in this area and that you are giving him control over that area. It's called the law of first fruits. Well, people don't realize that there's something even more potent than the first fruits of your giving, and it's the first fruits of your mouth. Adam said zebra, and to this day, that's what that thing is. God was showing us spiritually, when something comes on you, the first thing that escapes your mouth, oftentimes you'll find out that thing will be what you said it was. That's why it is important to guard your tongue, especially when you're getting bad news. When the doctor walks in with a really bad report and tries to tell you got 6 months to live, you have stage 4 cancer, whatever the first thing that comes out of your mouth is, that is what that thing will be. It is a law. Let me show you all through the Bible. It's everywhere. You just gotta look for it. It's 2 Kings chapter 4, the Shunammite woman. I love this woman. I like talking about her. You've heard me talk about her before, but I can't not bring her up in the scripture. The Shunammite woman, it was a woman that loved God enough to where she got with her husband and said, Elisha is always coming in town, and I can tell he's a blessed man. He's a man of God, and I want to bless the man of God, because I understand the Bible says if you give a righteous man just a cup of water, you'll get that righteous man's reward, because you did it for the right reasons. I want to be a blessing to this man of God. So they build Elisha a mother-in-law suite and say, you're going to stay with us whenever you're in this side of town. And Elisha says, well, what do you want me to do for you? You're being so kind to me. I have political favor because I'm the prophet of this time. I can hear in the chambers of kings. I know what the warlords are talking about. God tells me their secrets. Therefore, I have favor with the king. Let me give his name to you, or give you his name, so that you can get favor as well. She said, I don't need all that. I'm not worried about that. Well, how about some finances? Some people owe me some money. I can have them bring you over a chariot. Oh, no, I'm good on all that. Well, what is it I can do for you? And his servant says, she doesn't have a son. And so Elijah says, okay. Well, you don't have a son, so you know what? Whatever I speak shall happen, catch this, because I spoke it and I have authority. So Elisha then says, by this time next year, when I come to see you, you shall have a son. Let me pause for a moment. Have we ever really understood how to exercise our authority in this area? Have you ever spoken something into existence just by faith? You felt that thing in your spirit, even though it went against all odds. It went against everything that could be said. There are many times I can remember, even as a young man, when the enemy rose up against me in every way, but something came out of my spirit and spoke the opposite of what I could see, and then everybody was astonished when that thing manifested, but they didn't understand. All I was doing was speaking life into a dead situation, because I understood the power of my lips are greater than this realm we call reality. You can speak things into existence. So Elisha says, this time next year. In other words, you better hurry up. Baby coming. You're going to be pregnant in the next 3 months. And then says, when he came back the next year, the child was there. He had exactly what it was that he spoke. And then what happens here is the devil can't let us always off easy. Just because you got your miracle doesn't mean you're not still going to have to fight for it. So one day the child is running around in the field. He says, my head, my head. He falls down and dies. What do you do when the miracle that God blessed you with dies in your face? See, she didn't even ask for this child. It was the servant's idea that said, hey, she doesn't have a child. The only thing that came out of her mouth was, no, I didn't tell you I wouldn't take a child now. Just don't trick me. Don't deceive me now. If you're telling me this, I'm going to believe you. Do not trick me. So she simply says, don't deceive me. And Elisha says, what I said is what's going to happen, and she has the child. But now that miracle has died. What do you do? I know God gave me this marriage, but it is dying. I know God gave me this child, but they're wayward. I know God put me on this assignment of this job, but it's tearing me to pieces, and I'm ready to quit. What do you do when the miracle seems to be the problem? And so she then takes the child and lays him in the mother-in-law suite of Elisha and gets on her camel, and the Bible says that she would not speak, but she just drove straight to where she believed Elisha was. And I love this story because the Bible makes it clear she had no way of knowing where Elisha was. It wasn't a special day. He could have been to the east. He could have been to the west, but she simply believed in her heart enough to say, wherever I go, I'm going to land where I need to be. And the Bible says she showed up, and Elisha saw her coming from far away. So then Elisha then sends his servant out and says, run to her and ask her what's happening. And the servant runs and says, is everything well? And she says, it is well. The servant says, well, you're still coming. You're sure everything's okay? She says, it is well. She gets to Elisha, and Elisha says, is everything well with the child? She says, it is well. Now, isn't this the moment when you would tell all your business? But she understood the law of first fruits of her mouth, and she was not going to accept accept the death that she saw with her own eyes. And she understood that until she speaks it, it cannot manifest because she has authority over this area. So when Elisha specifically said, "What about your child?" she still said, "It is well." But to let him know that something was wrong, she looked at him and said, "But I told you, don't deceive me. I told you, don't trick me." And that was enough for Elisha to know it's time for me to get to that house. There is a miracle of brewing. And he had to go and raise that son back from the dead. But she understood and guarded her mouth. This was a wise woman. You're going to find later on that this same wise woman is given more territory and lands and back pay for all kinds of things that happen. She's given favor with the king anyway. Her name is all in the king's ear a few chapters later. The things that she didn't even want, the things that she didn't ask for, God gave them to her anyway because her heart was in the right place and she knew how to control her mouth. God says, somebody like that I have to bless. And so you find her chapter. I call her the most blessed woman in the Bible, other than Mary. She had to be because I see so many miracles that happened just in the first few chapters of 2 Kings, and I just studied her. I said, how she get all these miracles? They don't even give her a name. Just call her the Shunammite woman. But she get all kinds of miracles. And I realized it's because she was wise. She had a heart after God, and she was chaste with her mouth. She understood the first thing I call this thing, that's what it will be. They came to me and they told me that my baby girl would not live past, I think it was 1 year old. I think maybe Tina said it was 2 years old. I don't remember. Whatever the disease was, it was going to kill her while she was still in the infant phase. They said that it was had 100% mortality rate, meaning no one that has the disease survives. There is no small chance or some procedure. It simply is we will study your child so that maybe in the future one day we'll have a cure for this. But this disease is uncurable and has a 100% mortality rate. I said, my baby will be fine. Smiled, prayed with the nurses, laughed, ate some cookies, and went home. Why? Because whatever I say, that you may say that, but the Bible says that my Bible says by his stripes we were healed, meaning the healing has already been called into existence. I just have to let it manifest in the natural. They tested her a second time. They said she still has the disease. I said she'll be fine. They tested her a third time. Three times the report came back. She has this disease. They were flying specialists in just to study her, and they had to stop the flight because on the fourth time, the paper lined up with what I had said the entire time. They said, we cannot find this disease anymore. You can't find it because it was never there. It was never there because I never put my mouth on it. I never said, woe is me. What am I going to do with the sick child? I simply praised the Lord where I was and went on about my business. And because I would not speak in agreement with what three reports said, on that fourth report, they said that she will never have this disease a day in her life. She is healed because there was a speech of first fruits. And the first thing that I said when the report came is, my baby is well. The Shunammite woman said, it is well. Adam was presented as an animal, and he said zebra. And whatever he said, that's what that thing is. It is the first fruits of your mouth, the first fruits of your lips. This is how this thing works. If you look back in, y'all remember when Jericho was taken? It's in the beginning of Joshua. And if you remember, that is the first city that was taken when they entered into the promised land. Y'all know the story. And Moses died. Joshua took over. They walked into the promised land. They saw the miracle of the stream parting, just like they saw the oceans part for Moses, showing that God was now with Joshua. And then God says, the first territory I want you to take is a place called Jericho, a walled city. And notice the instructions that were given. The instructions were, when everybody marches around this city, don't let them speak. There should be no noise, no words. This is the first fruit city. As a matter of fact, we know it's first fruit because God said, don't take anything out of this city. Everything in this city belongs to the treasury of the king, of the temple. Don't take any of the people. Don't take any of the gold. Don't take any of the cattle. This is the first, and it belongs to me. After this city, you can take everything. It all belongs to you. But this one is the first. And notice they also could not speak. When they marched around in circles, knowing that they were probably getting marked. Can you imagine mocked? Imagine by day two or day three, people probably mocking them and laughing, saying, what are these people doing just marching around the city? What's that going to do? We got walls. But the Bible said, he said, stay silent. And then on the seventh day, march around seven times, but don't speak. And then when you hear the trumpet blast, then shout, for God has given you the city. Or in other words, the first fruit of your lips better be victory. The first thing that comes out of your mouth should be victorious sound. And if you're ever in a place when you don't know what to say, when you're hit with some news and it knocks you backwards and you don't know what that first reaction should be, here's a cheat sheet for you. Just praise the name of the Lord. Praise is always victorious, and praise always will get you through. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Hello, can you hear me? Can you guys still hear me? Somebody come off mute and let me know you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to keep on going. So the first thing that came from their mouth was a shout, and then the walls came down. This is the secret of the first fruits of your lips. When you speak something, then something will have to manifest. Last testimony I'll give you before I let this thing settle, and I told this in a cathedral, but we can't end this line without talking about my beautiful wife and some faith sometimes, because sometimes she'll have more faith than I will. There was a homeless woman that came into my office. She did not look right, didn't smell good, clear cut, all the signs of drugs. And she asked me for $20. She said she had been checking with shelters and did not know where they were off course. There was nothing she could do. She didn't have anywhere to live, but if I gave her $20, she could save up and get a hotel. Well, my wife happened to be in the back of that same office running her own business that day. And so my spirit said, just call your wife, let her deal with this. So I called my wife, and it was a miracle that she came in my office in the first place. I'm on the good side of town. I've never seen anybody homeless on that side of town. But she walked into my office and said, God sent me here. I didn't know anything about any of that. It looked like drugs to me. But I said, well, I'm going to let my wife deal with you. She's going to have grace. And my wife looked at her, and I'll never forget the first thing she said. This is not anything I would have thought of in this time period. But my wife looked at that woman in her eye and said, do you believe you're going to get a financial miracle today? That woman sobered up like she was quickly looked and said, yes, I do. Yes, I do believe. And they went to the back, and I don't know how that counseling session went. All I know is within a few minutes, I heard my wife praying. And then as the prayer continued to get louder, then I heard two people praying. Then I heard my wife shift into a heavenly language. Then I heard two people shifting into a heavenly language. I have no idea what this woman's background was. I'm assuming she has a holiness background, because she certainly was speaking in tongues. Maybe that was her first time. I have no idea. It didn't sound like her first time. It sounded like she knew what she was doing. But they went and had a Holy Ghost party in the back of my insurance office. And the only thing I remember is how embarrassed I was, as I was afraid a customer might walk in and hear all the shabba-dabba-dabba in the back of the office. I didn't want anybody to report me. I almost locked the doors. I was nervous. But they had a Holy Ghost party in the back of my office. And then when things settled down, they started looking for a place to live. And they found her a place. I think it was for 6 weeks. So she would be taken care of for the next 6 weeks. But before she left, she had heard what my wife had said. And I don't know if it triggered something in her or what, but she turned around and said, I think I have a lawyer. And that was the moment when I thought the drugs had kicked back in. I just wanted them to start praying again. But my wife said, well, I promised her a financial miracle. Yes, you did. All right, well, I guess you're just going to have to follow through this thing and see where it goes. So they started making phone calls, and it turned out the thing was true. We reached what was probably the top lawyer in the city. I'm not sure about the numbers, but it seemed like he's probably the top lawyer in the city. His office is in a penthouse floor of a high building. And that man picked up the phone and said, woman, I have been looking for you. Y'all, I closed my office. I put all of them in the car. I went and got her a cell phone. I remember that. And then we drove to that lawyer's office so that I could see this for myself. That man came out and said, woman, I've been looking for you for years. Where have you been? And he said, I have an $18,000 check with your name on it. Now, how likely is the woman that came in seeming like she was on drugs said that God told her to come into my office on a day that my wife happened to be there, and the first fruits of my wife's lips were, do you believe you're going to get a financial miracle today? Let me explain that to you for the people in the back. There used to be an old school anointing that the taste of drugs would come out of you the first time you got hit with the Holy Spirit. There used to be an old school anointing at the altar where your entire life could change with one interaction with God at the right time. Something hit when my wife spoke it in expectation and the two of them went up and prayed. Something hit in that office and it manifested in my face, and I watched a homeless woman receive $18,000, somebody who was on drugs just hours before that. And I saw her become free. I wish I would have followed up. I want to know what the rest of that story is. I wonder myself. But one thing I know is I don't question God when he says he can manifest whatever it is you speak. You simply must remember that the authority begins in your mouth. Whatever you speak on earth, what you bind, shall be bound in the heavens. Paul explains to us that there are three heavens. There's the third heaven where God is. There is the celestial heaven. And then there is the immediate heavens in our sky. The immediate heavens are where the Bible says that Satan is the power of the prince of the air. That's his area. Or in other words, principalities operate in the immediate first heaven. That is the domain of principalities. Now, I want you to recognize what the scripture says. When you get this key, because you understand the power of your mouth, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. When you bind that principality down here, you are knocking him off of his power in the first heaven. And whatever you loose over that area, God will back you up, and it shall be loosed in the heavens, because authority of the mouth was given to the believer, not the enemy. And you have all authority in your mouth. Just praise the name of the Lord. Speak what is in the scriptures. Speak what is in your spirit as the word of God. And when you don't know what to say, just pray. And when you praise God, that is victory. And you praise him over that situation, even if it's not your first day that you've spoken. Somebody praise God over your situation right now. Cancel some of those words that you spoke about yourself, about your health. My diabetes, my high blood pressure, my high cholesterol. I got to take my pills, my bad children. Cancel those words and replace that with, by his stripes, I am healed. My blood has lined up. My heart is pumping correctly. My children shall be dedicated to the Lord. My situation will turn around. It's not I will never make it to the top. It's that I already am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am a lender and not a borrower. And whatever it is that the word of God says over your life, speak that into existence and then begin to praise him right now. Somebody open your mouth and praise God even in this moment. So you can unmute at this time and just praise the name of the Lord. Somebody speak to those situations and praise the name of the Lord for victory. I claim the victory even now. I claim the victory over my household. I claim the victory over my bloodline. I claim the victory.
Did you enjoy that word? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The keys of the kingdom. God has given the keys of authority. It's in our mouth. What we say, we will have. What are you declaring over your life? What are you declaring? Are you just saying all is well? Are you saying all is well like the Shunammite woman? Are you saying all is well when people ask you, how your daughter doing? How your son doing? All is well. All is well. We thank God for this mighty man of valor that have come and preached us happy and yet gave us nuggets of wisdom, and we praise God for him. We thank God for each and every one of you that have tuned in right here to Faith Talk Podcast. I am your host, Lolita Jones. Join us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for our early morning prayer. Until then, continue to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. God bless you.